This is Audible.
Echo and Harper Audio present A Cruelty Special to Our Species. Poems by Emily Jungmin Yoon. This is the author. Author's note. For me, poetry provides a space in which intertwined languages and historical narratives are celebrated, a space in which I conceive disasters, failures, and traumas, lending them my own perspective, dimension, and articulation. My poetry does not exist to answer, but rather to continue asking questions about my immigrant, ESL, Korean, and womanly experiences, and the violent history of 20th century Korea. As poems on the comfort women of the Japanese Empire are in the heart of this collection, I'd like to mention my position in writing their stories. In 1991, the year of my birth, Kim Hak-soon became the first former comfort woman to offer public testimony of her life as a sex slave. As more and more former comfort women of the Japanese Empire began to share their testimonies, it was clear they were speaking from within, not for a community. They put their voices together for reparations and recognition of their and the empire's history. I'd like my poetry to serve to amplify and speak these women's stories, not speak for them. I'd like my poetry to remind readers that even if a part of history may not seem to be relevant to their lives, it is. It is their reality too. An experience that is not mine is still part of the society and world that I occupy. It is crucial to know, listen, tell, and retell various stories, so we may better theorize and understand our existence. In the realm of poetry, one can transcend the sense of belonging confined by temporal and geographical lines. In this transcendence, I return to my departed ancestors, to their frustration of tongues and identities and experiences of diaspora, from the Japanese occupation to the turbulent years in Korea before my birth. Poetry is not just relief. Poetry is tension. Poetry is departure. Poetry is return. Poetry is memory. I wrote this book to say that one has the agency to command and preserve their own narrative. The Charge. An Ordinary Misfortune. Mine is the jam-packed train, the two-week cocktail, the statement by an American man at the bar, your life in Korea would have been a whole lot different without the U.S., meaning, be thankful. This question by a Canadian girl, a friend, why don't you guys just get along? The guys, Japan and Korea, meaning, move on. How do I answer that? Move on, girls on the train. Destination, comfort stations. Things a soldier can do. Mount you before another soldier is done. Say, drink the soup made of human blood. Say, the Korean race should be erased from this earth. Tops down, bottoms up. Things erased, your name, your child, your history. Your new name, Fumiko, Hanako, Yoshiko. Name of the condom, charge number one. Name of the needle, compound 606. Salverson means an arsenic to save. Ratio 291, 29 soldiers per girl. Actual count, lost. Lost all. Shot, shot, shot. Everybody. Give thanks. Comfort. On Wednesday, I ate plain yogurt, opened a notebook, Vivaldi, as I folded my laundry. It was his birthday. On Wednesday, it rained, on the succulents, on the surviving women. Tricked or taken, carted to Japanese soldiers. The condom said, attack number one. Rinsed for reuse. On Wednesday, I listened to The Four Seasons. It stopped raining. It never stopped raining. On Wednesdays, it rains. For the children they bore. For the children they could not bear. For the children they wore. Give them this day. Give them Vivaldi, violin. Give them the all-girls choir. L'inverno, come and gone. All four seasons, come and gone. On Wednesday, nothing happened. Rain evaporated, and so did the concertos. Wednesdays ago, the women, the girls, clutched each other. Who will live? Who will leave? Who believes this life? The world will be better after you and me. An ordinary misfortune. What is pressing? What is pressed? Or who? My grandmother, a woman, a teen. Her father presses the gate shut, presses her into a crate, the crate into a shed. She unfolds by morning, binds her chest. She walks on woman. An American soldier sees her and yells, "Stop over there," in Japanese, the language they've both learned. When she runs, she's unmistakably woman. She falls. He laughs. What is a body in a stolen country? Or whose? What is right in war? What is left in war? War hasn't left Korea. I have. I fold. I give up myself to you. Which one of you said, "Let's have raunchy Korean sex," to me? Which one of you didn't? Do you represent America to me? Did those soldiers to her? We didn't fear war. We feared the Allies, she said. Hello, Miss Pretty Bitch. The street drummer calls out in Korean, no doubt thinking it a compliment. A pleasant surprise, cinched with red ribbons. For Christmas, the day, select theaters will gift us with The Interview, a comedy in which two American journalists ignite Kim Jong-un's face. Freedom has prevailed, the film star Seth Rogen says about the release. The same was thought at the time of Korea's release from the Japanese Empire, though then the Korean War began, and compared to war, what's so bad about a movie? Anyway, even war can be funny. And now a drummer in New York says, you got a smile that could light up the whole town. Though I'm not smiling, thinking about villages and cities of what became North Korea set on fire, sending puddles of twilight into sunless skies as if flames could stab. But his freedom of speech prevails. Freedom always prevails, which is why we get to see two Americans incinerate a Korean face on Christmas, hold our popcorn and chocolate bars, and laugh as the dictator explodes in tune to a pop song. Laugh as American soldiers would laugh at Korean children chanting, hello, hello, gibumi chocolate, with wartime hunger. Laugh as they choose which face to light up. An ordinary misfortune. The trouble with trees is that their bodies and limbs are too capable of burning, of living, capable of leaves, of leaving, charcoal, ash, and we think we have power. Capable, 1561, from late Latin, capabilis, receptive. Unit 731 of the Japanese Empire injects us with monkey blood. Our limbs are not receptive, capable, used by theologians, from Latin, capex, able to hold much. Our living bodies and extracted children, not holding, not capable, capere, to take, grasp, lay hold, catch, undertake, be large enough for, comprehend. How to take, how to grasp, comprehend, our limbs catch fire, taken, our bodies, not large enough, capable, Sanskrit, kapati, two handfuls of intestines, are they capable, Greek, kaptein, to swallow, gulp down, pills, gas, what more, capable, lettish, campu, seize, our limber bodies, carve our bodies, our eyes unseized by their sockets, capable, limbs, capable of burning, of ash, charcoal, capable, old Irish, cached, servant girl, her fallopian tube, cut, living, not capable of living, leaving, Welsh, caif, captive, slave, capable, our names, Maruta, from Japanese, logs. An ordinary misfortune. She is girl. She is gravel. She is grabbed. She is grabbed like handfuls of gravel. Gravel grated by water. Her village is full of gravel fields. It is 1950. She is girl. She is grabbed. She is not my grandmother, though my grandmother is girl. My grandmother's father closes the gates against American soldiers, though they jump over stone walls. To a girl who is not my grandmother. The girl is gravel grabbed. Her language is gravel because it means nothing. Hands full of girl. Fields full of gravel. Korea is gravel and graves. Girl is girl and she will never be a grandmother. She will be girl. Girl is gravel and history will skip her like stone over water. Oh girl. Oh glory. Girl. The testimonies. Testimonies. 황금주. A draft notice for girls who was going to go. Everybody crying. I went. I dressed nicely and went. Train. Windows covered with tar paper. None of the girls knew. Japanese soldiers on horses. Vast Manchurian field. It was now much too cold to sleep. Thanks to our body warmth, the sun rose. I waited for them to send me to a factory. They could not possibly dump me here. I was called Haruko Nagaki. My long hair was still braided. An officer told me that there were 5 orders to obey. If I missed any, I would be less than dead. I hoped one of the orders was for me to work at a factory. I looked at his jacket, hung inside out, to hide his name. I looked at my virgin's braid, at his knife. He told me I was not going to any factory. Told me to take off my clothes. I told him I did not understand his order and his kind of factory. And he laughed. Girls arrived, got sick, pregnant, injected, with so many drugs. Nameless animals exploded on top of us. The day of liberation, suddenly, no sound of horses. The last soldier stood in the kitchen. Your country is liberated, and my country is sitting on a fire. So I left the barracks. I walked. I was alone and walked all the way to the 38th parallel. American soldiers sprayed me with so much DDT. All the lice fell off me. It was December 2nd. I lost my uterus. I am now 73 years old. Jin Kyung-peng. My mother and I were picking cotton when 2 Japanese kempe passed by. She told me to lie flat, but they found me, kicked my mother, put me aboard the ship, then a bigger ship, which arrived near Kinariyama, Taiwan, a place with many monkeys and snakes, potatoes, sweet potatoes, taro. 50 women were not enough for these soldiers. I remember a few of them. Hideo Kanemoto. He treated us okay. Also, Ono, Nakamura, Kanjiro Yoshida, Yamaguchi, Higashi, Inamochi. I stayed with them until the end of war. One day in August, the soldiers gathered and wept. In March, we sailed to Busan. An American GI gave me a bag of candy and 1,000 won. We bought rice, a good meal. I was Weanbu, between 14 and 19. I became feverish. I became infertile. I remember the children of my dead husband. I remember a good meal. I am alone. I look like a stranger at home, in Hapcheon, with my darkened skin. My mother thought she was dreaming. Kang Deok-kyung. My school teacher asked me if I wanted to go to Japan, do something good for the emperor. We were led to a harbor, a cargo ship, a train, to a factory in Doyamaki, where food was so scarce. We pulled grass, roots, anything we could eat. Girls died of hunger. Some went crazy. I ran away, was found by a Japanese soldier. Kobayashi took me to a hut. Every evening, soldiers, countless soldiers, on the wild mountainside. Kobayashi. An unusually quiet day, I found Japan had lost the war. I sailed to Korea, jumped from the crates, hit my stomach with fists. I failed. I named him Yeongju. Left him at an orphanage. Met him every Sunday. One Sunday, I saw another boy in his clothes. Yeongju had died of pneumonia, already buried. I thought of Kobayashi bringing me rice in his drunken stupor. I thought of the piece of steel I took at the factory. I found some of the steel so attractive. I still believe he is alive somewhere. I want to believe that all was just a terrible fate. But then. Kim Sang-hee. I was 14 years old. It was around November 26th. It snowed, I remember. I was on my way home from the photo studio with my portrait when a man in olive drab clothing grabbed me by the collar, cursed in Japanese. Was he Japanese or Korean? I could not tell. I was thrown onto a truck of mournful sounds of weeping. These girls and I crossed the border into China. There was no poison, no ropes. In Suzhou, I was number 4. I was Takeda Sanai. The first night an officer grabbed me, I drank disinfectant, but I didn't die. In Nanjing, I had malaria, appendicitis, hemorrhage in my vagina, but I didn't die. In Singapore, I saw dark-skinned men digging ditches. They looked at us as if they would burst into tears. In Singapore, the war ended. We boiled leaves from trees and wild greens. We ate this to survive. When I made it back to Busan Harbor, I went to my brother's house in Daegu. In his dream, I had shaved my head, was drowning in the ocean. But I didn't die. My name is Kim Sang-hee. I was born on December 20th, 1920. I was born into a good family. I am a Catholic. I should forget and forgive, but I cannot. When my head turns toward Japan, I curse her. I want to find solace, but I cannot. When I wake up every morning, I cannot. Kim Yun-shim. An automobile drove up the road, something I had never seen before. The driver let me climb up, and the truck rolled on, then kept on going and going, and I begged them to take me back, but I was thrown into a cargo train, a cargo ship, hair bin, a comfort station, where three truckloads of soldiers arrived. One by one, they raped all night long with filthy, wordless bodies, my child's body. They impregnated girls and still forced sex. When a child was born, a blue-uniformed woman put the body in a sack and carried it away. Soldiers used the sack, saku, reused condoms. Girls got sick. When a girl got too sick, a guard wrapped her body in a blanket and carried her away. Such was our life. Look at my fingers. When I ran away, the police smashed my hands, weaving a stiff pen between my fingers, like this. Another year passed, like this. In June 1945, when the camp seemed deserted, I escaped and ran all night. In a month, I reached Korean shores. In Harbin, I saw at a stream a hand of a sick girl who had been buried alive. In my dreams, she is still reaching toward wider waters. My hands, with their crooked fingers, cannot help her. Park Kyung-sun. There was a man about 45 years of age with a mustache who told me to work for Japan and meet my brother in Hiroshima. The man said my refusal might not be good for my parents. The man and his men took me to Shimonoseki. I was led into a room. I was told to take a bath. I was told to take off my clothes. I only begged that I meet my brother. When they finally took me to Hiroshima, my brother was alone in a big empty room. He asked if I came as a comfort woman, and I promised I would return to see him again. When flower buds were about to appear, I was taken to Osaka. In its room, I was number 10. I was then a comfort woman. I became so sick with syphilis, I could not walk. One night, an officer came and told me to get ready. I was in such great pain. The next thing I remember is arriving in Seoul. It was June 1945. Immediately, I had a miscarriage. The mustached man learned of my return, told me to return to the comfort station. To avoid the draft again, I got married. Our new life, a rented room. I could smell the odor of my weekly number 606, arsenic for syphilis. My baby discharged pus from his ears, was called crazy. My brother returned home with burns and lumps all over his body from radiation, discharged disintegrated bone, the size of teeth, near his wounds. The Japanese soldiers discharged, discharge, out of, charge, into, every room. 김순덕. There was girl delivery, just like farmers' mandatory delivery of harvested rice to the government. I wanted to hide, but what if my mother was captured in my place? My mother was needed at home. Mother. Mother, I decided to go. They promised a job as a military nurse in Japan. Mother, a man gathered us near the county office and took us to Busan, to Nagasaki. That night, the girl next to me went missing. Each night, they sent several virgin girls to military officers. A military officer came to me and said, "Every young girl experiences sex in her lifetime, that I might as well do it now." They took us. They took us to Shanghai, to a ruined village. My body, a ruined village, a damaged house. Our manager gave me packets of black powder to reduce my bleeding from the vagina. He then told me it was made from a leg of a Chinese soldier's corpse. I dream of human legs rolling around. I dream it to this day. I scream to wake myself up. Mother, Izumi, he was kind to me. I told him about my thoughts of suicide. He was surprised, so surprised, he sent me home, sent me letters. I did not reply. I had my new life to live, as a washerwoman, a street peddler, and I did other things, too. But mother, the hardest time was when I was dreaming of suicide, while soldiers were standing in line to satisfy their lust in the ruined village, when I was dreaming of legs that could not go anywhere. The Confessions. An Ordinary Misfortune. Hunting ground with knife ghosts, clubbed raw, my body ground down. You'd think a former comfort woman would hate the Japanese. I don't. I hate men and I hate sex. I hate the sight of my son-in-law, who lives in this house. I've been living a robbed house. My room became unfit for children. How could I put a child in a haunted place? Nothing can grow in this blubber and blood. My husband found lovers somewhere else. I found my daughters somewhere else. I love them with the longing of a house no one occupies. They sometimes put their hands on its creaking walls and say, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" Every door is closed. 70 years and no one knows. No one who knows my past is alive. Girls at the comfort stations, we were all children then. Fetish. Let me tell a Korean joke. A woman puts on her white clothes for mourning and goes to awake. She wails for hours, then asks, "So who died?" I think about this woman and her performance of grief, the essential grief. Colonial-era Japanese historians were sure the white pottery and clothes of Korea show perpetual sorrow, poverty of color, incapacity for pleasure. Countless foreign invasions turned the people blank and hollow, cursed to eternal mourning. Those historians spoke pity for the Peninsularians and their endearing purity of a spotless vase. But perhaps that joke is funny, because the woman feels no grief. Perhaps she's a moirologist, which means professional mourner, but sounds more like some kind of scientist. Perhaps she is both her research field, sorrow. Royal Azalea. My friend, you can't tell me apart from my sister, my cousin, my friend. You want to pluck away at my gut Digest my origins, crush me with your teeth. There are mountains of me. Fluorescent, inflorescent, infrared, mountains of us. Find me with azalea. Confuse me with azalea. Find constellations where I open. Royal flush of my skin, you found my nectar guide. Touch me underneath my regalia, I'm viscid. Taste me, I'm sweet. You won't even know the toxin on your tongue, in your gut now. Don't touch me. McKinley Cantor's 1951 novel is savagely outspoken. Air Force men in Japan and wives of men transferred to the front. Wives are greedy, hungry for men. Sing-song girls perch in the exotic gardens of Kumbawa, the exotic backwash of the Korean War. Konnichiwa, a street vendor tries me in a sing-song voice. What, no ni hao this time? I would have said, if I were more outspoken. I could be Japanese, an exotic backwash. McKinley, lend me your words. I could be a garden, awaiting the mail, to whom the mail came seldom, who sings with a thin voice, bits of lace that flash beneath the hems, wonderful female things, to whom the mail is a carrier arounder, the thrower arounder, who is a receptacle that goes back to the caves, maybe past. Oh, I would smell of Asia, a geisha shmeisha. I might be horizontal. Little things, pretty things, the gilt shelves of rare teacups, the inlaid coffee table with its carvings. A fresh new spice to taste, touch and taste, fruit and flowers, spice and incense, cloudy breath amid my draperies, emanating from my strange, otherworldly body. I could be this, greedy and hungry for men, singing songs of my conquerors. Savage. Kumbawa, Shanata. Mac, they're not even said right. Konnichiwa, on the other hand, is. Ah, so desu ka, you say. Man, you want to explore sex as practiced among the Japanese. I would smell of Asia, spice and incense. You think, I should know the silky menace of your touch, the violence of your gasping effort, the shudder of fulfillment, the invocation growled in your throat when explosion racks you. Without that, I am incomplete. You think that without you, I'd be incomplete. Conqueror. Carrier arounder. Thrower arounder. Tell it to him straight, Mac, mingling your body with that of a Japanese woman, flesh against flesh, fluid touching fluid, you violate yourself. This race, raw fish, polluted pickles, toilers, gesticulating shopkeepers, pitiful elders, men and women knobbed and bony, skimpy hair twisted to a horror. I would smell of Asia. Man, my race oozes from bamboo and other thatching. Goes back to the cave. A man brings a needle to the thread. A woman brings the thread to the needle. Maybe there's something phallic about that. Okay, Mac. If I were an exotic garden of needles, I'd let you touch me. I'm being as honest as a woman can. Bell theory. When I was laughed at for my clumsy English, I touched my throat, which said ear, when my ear said year, and year after year, I pronounced the new thing wrong and other throats laughed. Elevator. Library. Vibrating bells in their mouths. How to say azalea. How to say forsythia. Say instead golden bells. Say, I'm in ESL. In French class, a boy whose last name is Kring called me Belle. Called me by my Korean name, pronouncing it wrong. Called it loudly, called attention to my alien. I touched the globe moving in my throat, a hemisphere sinking. called me across the field lined with golden bells. I wanted to run and be loved at the same time. By Kring, as in ring of people. Where are you going? We're laughing with you. The bell in our throat that rings with laughter is called uvula, from uva, grape. A theory. Special to our species, this grape bell has to do with speech, which separates us from animals. Kring looked at me and said, "Just curious, do you eat dogs?" And I wanted to end my small life. Be reborn a golden retriever of North America. Lie on a field lined with golden bells, loved. Today, in a country where dogs are more cherished than a foreign child, an Oregon Senate candidate says no to refugees, says, years ago, Vietnamese refugees ate dogs, harvested other people's pets. Harvest, as in harvest grapes. Harvest, as in harvest a field of golden rice. A zoo people from rice countries, as in people eat dog worlds. Years ago, 1923 Japan, the phrase 주거엔 고짓선 is used to set apart Koreans. Say 15 yen, 50 sen. The colonized who used the chaos of the Kanto earthquake to poison waters, set fire. A cruelty special to our species. A cruelty special to our species. How to say 주거, how to say 고짓. How 주거 sounds like die in Korean. How 고짓 sounds like lie. Lie, lie, library, azalea, library. I'm going to the library, I lied, years ago, on a field lined with forsythia. American Dream. The alcove of your arm has become my favorite room for sleep, but I've been roused by nightmares lately. Even thunderstorms couldn't wake you, my mother says, over the phone. I want to tell her I've been seeing a white man, an American man, but I can already imagine her. Well, you can have friends. She had never meant for me to become a Westerner. She's afraid of losing me to a foreigner, being unable to speak to her future grandchildren. Thousands of miles away, in Korea, she asks if anything is wrong. I want to laugh. Say to you, isn't she ridiculous? But last night, a Korean man broke into your room and raped me, with you calm in your repose, next to me. He sat on my stomach with a knife, the only gleaming thing. And you were still, in your platinum skin, when I opened my eyes. How can anything be wrong? I comfort my mother. Hair. My mother would straighten then wind the cord of the hairdryer around its oblong trunk, its mouth curving out to a flat triangle like a delta. After it has done its duty of releasing streams of strong air for our heads, then said, "See, we have to keep neat everywhere." At the age of 6, when I started drying my own hair, the dryer was heavy and unwieldy in my hands. So often my head was patches of dry and wet, but I would wrap the dryer with its cord carefully and with precision, unlooping any bump to coil again, admiring how the tight spiral with its consistent shine looked, indeed like perfect wet hair. It wasn't until my early 20s my hair started to curl on its own, and my mother said, "My world, your hair is turning into your father's." How peculiar is it that when I wanted wavy hair as an adolescent to be more like the white girls I cherished, my hair was obstinately perpendicular to the earth. How peculiar is it that these girls would stroke my long dark hair and told it how so smooth and lovely it is. Fetishization I welcomed for long. summer days and the popular girl saying, I would kill for your skin tone. My mother's friends whispering to her, why did Jeongmin tan so much? Like I have a reason for being a color at some place and at some time. And there is a straight line between bad and goodness on which I lay my unbeautiful body precariously. Autumn morning. Leaves begin to split and crimp in the cold. And holding the dryer, I still do this slow meandering. Obelai. How fitting the obelisk dotted the margins of ancient manuscripts, marking spurious passages, then became the symbol for division, one line balancing a circle above and a circle beneath, two heads never to touch each other. How our peninsula became one obelisk. How swift the sunderance of families. How fitting that division is military. In elementary school, we learned division, its quotient, in remainder, sang about reunification, brought bags of rice for our northern half, not knowing the spurious passages they would travel, that the white grains never touch the hands we held in our paintings. How enduring the sunderance of lovers. How the obelisk gets its name from a spit, a lance. How in college my Korean boyfriend registered to fulfill the compulsory military service. How his American friends joked about killing all the North Koreans, beheading them. How when he laughed, it was as though his shaved head was of somebody else. How I thought about reunification again, wanted the armistice to be over, to be brought to swift justice for my sake. My grandmother reminisces with peaches. Peaches you eat at night. In the dark, you can't see the insect bites. How do they find the sweetest fruit? Your grandfather would find it, the one unblemished peach in someone's orchard, and cool it in the stream for me. I married him that year. He wasn't a romantic, you know, but he always left a basket of peaches at my feet in the summer. I carved pieces of that viscous fruit and placed them on the parted lips of my sleeping children, and they rose, chewing on the pulp. Look at how my garden balsam has bloomed. Dye your fingers with its petals. See if it lasts till first snow. Snow, what precious flower in this region. With my ear resting on his chest, I could imagine its blossom. My cheek dreamt well on his heart. An ordinary misfortune. There was a man, a Japanese soldier, one that did not believe in old superstitions, one that did not believe in sex before battle as charm against harm. He was an odd man, one that did not carry an amulet with pubic hair of a comfort woman, or any piece of her. His comrade said, "Be a man." The equation is, an odd man out is not a man. There is no reason for logic in war. There is no reason. There was a man. His comrade said, come raid, come pillage. Pushed him into the station. Their eyes on the holes in the wall. Watched as he came. Became. What is the equation here? There is no equation here. There was a man. One who said weeping, I am not a man. I am not a man. Autopsy. Your fingers crowned with meat hooks and cleavers. You holding me and whispering, who did this to you? Sawing me into a shallow boat. You did. You did. You did. And you. And you. And you. You did this to me in my home. You did this while crying. I cannot make a sound as though my mouth is full of honey, of a colony of bees. Honey, honey. You lift my skin. Inside it lives your dream of forests where snow grows old and you are young, cold and white and lonely, without my suffering, and you want to say, not me, not me. I wouldn't hurt a bee. But honey, inside my blood and bone and their network of tendon and meat, we have, you and I, our histories of hunting and being the beast. If not, what are we doing here? My dead body and you assessing my death, looking at your hands like a fool, like a child who finds that a dandelion will die only after he has plucked it. The After. An Ordinary Misfortune. Okamoto condoms are number one in Korea. The 001 series. The 002, 003. The thinnest. The pinnacle of condom technology. The pinnacle of pleasure. A wonder. No wonder. Who wouldn't want that? On Okamoto's website, Skinless Skin, a popular condom since post-war. Which war? No mention of Totsugeki Ichiban, meaning charge number one, assault number one, attack number one, attack champion, attack and blast, choose your own definition. Who wore it? Who wore it best? In comfort stations, there weren't enough number ones. Attack and blast, rinse, attack and blast, repeat. The girl Skinless Skin. Blasted, post-war. Which war? Gyokusai, meaning shattered jade. Better a broken jewel than an unbroken tile. Honorable death. Erase any evidence. The girl Skinless Skin. Blast more holes into their bodies. 000. An Ordinary Misfortune. She offered him head because he wanted her whole. You could at least blow me, he offered. She didn't want to offend. He was taking his pants off. Are we on? He said. She was in love. She said, I'm in. When she couldn't finish him off, he was put off. She should have put out, because look what you did, he said. Look what you did. That wasn't even worth it. He felt blue. She felt bad. She sucked. She blew it. She remembered Googling putting out and finding Chris lost interest in Ashley because she wasn't putting out. Joe dumped his girlfriend because she won't put out for him. If a gal doesn't put out by the third date, I dump her. Something was off. Guys are like that, though. Guys needed more, she had been offered. It's her fault if she turns him on, doesn't get him off. If he wanted her whole. If he left. Whore. Girls always use sex to get what they want. Someone had cracked. The teacher was showing versions of Judith with the head of Holofernes. Klimt, Caravaggio, Gentileschi, Allori. She remembered Allori. Judith looking out at her, holding the head by the hair, as if to offer, to allure. Fear. I wanted to carve it out of me, become a fjord flanked by historic cliffs. How else could I write the years I did not live? I wanted the space for fear emptied, teem with lives, like the black and white photos of Max Dasfors. I don't know what I expected to feel in front of his Korean War photograph. The image that won him the Pulitzer held refugees crawling a wrecked bridge. But this wasn't it. It was a pair of hands, blackened fingers sprouting out of snow with a hole above them. Dasfors says in a screen behind me, the man's hands were bound, and that black hole was where he breathed his last. That black hole, that sphere of fingers, that oceanic arm, that fjord of mine, holding what I had believed to be void. Voice, a fearful current. Underneath, bodies of light, of water. Let us part like this. On winter nights, Koreans heard infant cries from distant wood owls, an abandoned newborn amidst black trees, unaware that it may be a bird. Allow us to be like that. Let us speak these words louder than pines cracking in the snow. Walk far from us. Mistake us for howling animals. That's 10 of them. That's 100 of them that we left behind. Maybe hundreds. Maybe thousands. News. For the victims of the MV Sewol disaster of April 16, 2014. There's an article on how to eat an apple. But I am eating a pear and thinking pear in Korean is a homonym for ship or boat and stomach. How MV Sewol sank. How Sewol means beyond the world and homonymous with the passing time or life. It carried mostly young students on a school trip, told to wait in the stomach of Sewol while the captain and crew fled. Divers pull bodies, find a boy and a girl strapped together by life vests. Koreans wear yellow ribbons, unbury the young dead from the salts of too quick passing life. A letter pasted on a bottle atop the walls of their high school reads, I have loved you for a year. Sewol, how did I love at 17? Lull the clot in my stomach. Watered with tears, the pit grew vines around my veins and I coughed petals. I surrendered and cried, I love, and lived. I am sick of the smiling slices of pear. The right way to eat an apple is, top to bottom, swallow everything. Waste nothing except seeds. A homonym for apple is apology. I am sorry, I say to the pear's core, to the seeds in the sunken belly. An ordinary misfortune. News reports that in the Philippines, more Koreans than locals are killed. Because of the gangs, because Filipinos think Koreans are rich, because Filipino laborers return from Korea with a bad taste in their mouths. More Korean desks in the police for the safety of our people. In other news, Korea leads in tourists, businessmen, students looking for a guiltless fuck. Guiltless departure, saying, these Filipinas, these children can't find me. Nothing but a bad taste in their mouths. Nothing but an empty desk. In other news, two boys file a suit against their Korean father. Say, were you not in the Philippines with us for 7 years? Say, won't you take a DNA test? Do the same men read about comfort women and rage with all of us? Keep Bibles in their desks and preach, violence begets violence. Curse aloud, damn Filipinos taking Korean lives. The boys win the suit. Their father says, this will break up my family. Notes. Japan and South Korea have an agreement on the comfort women issue, December 28, 2015. Pictures of two men shaking hands, Foreign Minister Kishida and Foreign Minister Yoon. The government of Japan confirms that this issue is resolved finally and irreversibly with this announcement. 1 billion yen equals 8.3 million US dollars. The government of the Republic of Korea acknowledges the fact that the government of Japan is concerned about the comfort woman statue built in front of the Embassy of Japan in Seoul from the viewpoint of preventing any disturbance of the peace of the mission or impairment of its dignity. Statue, bronze, hair ripped short, short, empty chair to her right, to remember the others. Small, is only a girl. Small feet on small toes. unable to tread with ease. How can we sleep with feet stretched when? Common Korean expression. Also, where former Comfort women and citizens have gathered every Wednesday for the last 24 years, demanding peace, dignity, yellow butterfly badges. Video of Lee Yong-soo to Junior Foreign Minister Im. Why are you trying to kill us twice? Did you exclude us because we're uneducated, too old? Because you think I don't know anything? Will you live this life for me? Wall Street Journal posts translated agreement. One person comments. South Korea must realize that the offensive statues of the Comfort Women have been and will be the symbol of South Korean perjury and calumny. Comfort Women dedicated to raise soldiers' morale and spirits and to prevent rape crimes in countries. Rape to prevent rape, prevent disturbance of peace, impairment of dignity. We used to believe butterflies pulled spring over the earth. How many springs now? Ask the deranged butterfly to dance. It will not. Average age of the surviving women, 90. On the day of the Gyeongju earthquake, September 12, 2016. All I want to think about is love and gratitude. On the escalator in Busan Station, having put you on the train back to Seoul, avoiding the eyes of the doomsayer on the staircase next to my descending steps as he screams death upon those who don't accept God. The end is coming, so come to church, or the earth will split open to swallow you and you won't be saved. He spits a different miracle on each face. God slits the sea down the woman behind me. Flame bursts into the world and water fills it, then overflows. It is not that I don't fear water and fire. It is not that I don't believe in God. We already kill and die with water and fire. An ocean away, the police will shoot Terrence Crutcher, then Keith Lamont Scott, and it will not be the end. And here, Baek Nam-gi will die from a water cannon, and none of this was for not believing in the right power, which is God. The doomsayer says we must surrender, and he is sure of this. Across the station, windows of love motels light up, then dim. As lovers enter the room, empty for, empty into each other. The end of summer is coming. I have now walked far away from the man. It is not that I don't believe in God. For once, all I want is to think about love and gratitude. Thank God for all our lives. When the earth begins to tremble, I look back to the station, already emptied of your train. No one will die from this. Not today. Not today. But people embrace, touch each other by the wrist, by instinct. The man stands alone, like me, his arms lifted, perhaps in surrender, perhaps in gratitude. Between autumn equinox and winter solstice today, I read a Korean poem with the line, "Today you are the youngest you will ever be. Today I am the oldest I have been. Today we drink buckwheat tea. Today I have heat in my apartment. Today I think about the word 차다 in Korean. It means cold. It means to be filled with. It means to kick, to wear. Today we're worn. Today you wear the cold, your chilled skin. My heart kicks on my skin. Someone said winter has broken his windows. The heat inside and the cold outside sent lightning across glass. Today my heart wears you like curtains. Today it fills with you. The window in my room is full of leaves, ready to fall. 차다, you say. It's tea. We drink. It is cold outside.